Hey everybody, before we get started with the episode, I just want to apologize. My audio comes through a little bit tinny. I tried everything I could to fix it, so it might be a little off. I do very much apologize. Hopefully you can get through the session. It's a lot of just BSing, so fun to listen to if you want to know more about podcast stuff and us hanging out, but it's not important to the story. All right, enjoy. Hey everybody, this is Jeff, not your GM, but person in the podcast. I'm here today, and so is everybody else. I'm going to resolve or talk over the end of chapter 5. Say hi, everybody.
Hey, everybody.
Hello.
Cool. So, start with the easy stuff. Is there a favorite scene or part in this chapter?
Well, I would say my favorite scene is bankrupting Desmond Crow to save my dad. Or at least getting him cut off, because I'm sure they have more money than that, but when a charge comes through going to the Kabuto Syndicate unmarked account, what is this?
Do you know of any repercussions from that stuff yet, or is this all speculation?
That's all speculation from joking about him being cut off.
Yeah.
It might just be a drop in the bucket for the crows, but
well, we know his credit card was declined the last time we tried to use it.
Oh yeah, it was.
so there's some legitimacy to this.
Yeah, a little bit of legitimacy, yeah. Yes. Either it got flagged for spending or shut off. But yeah, that's right.
Yeah, we spent something like 100,000 credits on that credit card.
90 of it went to the Kabuto Syndicate.
We still don't know how expensive that like giant saving squid plushie was. Like,
is that another thing that just got charged?
True. And in hindsight, I'm wishing we hid our faces better.
If it helps, I had the guy choose that he's the most expensive item, I think. I could have him think of it, so he's just going to return it.
Oh, nice. It's like, I always wanted that saving squid. Ha, ha, ha. Like to return this, please? Money. cash would be fine.
That credit card has been destroyed. You have to take cash.
Yeah.
A check made out to Chicago All Saints Hospital.
Jesse, what about your favorite moment?
I think my favorite moment was when three of you were able to do a sequence of combat maneuver checks as attacks of opportunity on Randall Umberson as he's flying through the air through his own front door, bathrobe flapping in the wind.
Didn't someone pickpocket him in the middle of that?
I think so. There was definitely a trip. There was definitely a grapple. And I think there was a disarm. I think it was a disarm check to get like the pad away from him.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think I swiped it just before John did the antagonize, which sent him away from me.
That's right. John did the antagonize, and that's what got Randall to charge through the three of your all's zone in the first place.
Right. He provoked the spiel from forward to get tripped by Dodge to get grappled by Keegan.
So yeah, it was an artful ballet of maneuvers, and I thought it was really great. John, what was your favorite?
I enjoyed the water rights confrontation. Speaking of Kabuto Syndicate, it's a fun little close quarters fight. Mav kicking it off with the environmental disarm.
Yeah, that one was fun. It's kind of fun when you have these really close knit like fights like that where you don't have room to maneuver, really.
Yeah, you just have to try and think on your feet.
Yeah, or with your feet. That was kind of one of my favorites, but it wasn't the fight that was a favorite. It was how we used the wine to start a war with the Kabuto Syndicate. in Amon's favor, or displeasure? I don't know exactly how they feel about that yet.
Orion doesn't seem too happy.
Yeah.
But he never seems happy.
turns out Lucius just doesn't come back from his day off episode.
Just makes his death.
Leaves you all holding the bag.
Oh, I also really enjoyed the foot race for the moon rats. That was a lot of fun.
Oh, with all our fun NPC gang members.
Yeah.
God, what was that goblin's name? Squash Face, Squash Mouth, King Trash Squash.
That's a lot of names.
Let's see here.
Squash Mouth. Hey now.
There's a Hump Day, Trash Puke, Lord Stomps, Viceroy, Stab and Grab, and Master Squat.
All right, so I was in the right ballpark. I was just...
Yeah. You said them all in different orders.
I thought this was going to be a Bob's Burgers reference that was coming out.
Trash Mouth?
Yeah. I think you said that at one point.
Yeah, probably did.
Oh, Burgers.
King Trash Mouth and his husband, Putty Fingers?
Oh, I don't remember.
Oh, man.
Bob's Burgers podcast starts now.
More material for Watch It Bro.
That's right. Keep plugging my other podcast.
Yeah, that was a fun race, especially like seeing how the different like strategies that the other factions had when they're running, like seeing goblins carry each other as a strategy to run long distance. That was cool.
I started out with a strategy and then gave it up because I just kept running. Pure endurance.
Play to your strengths.
Yeah. Strength. And con.
I really like the Fours and Barry episode. I thought that was a fun bit of buddy copy.
Well, when we went onto the boat and we freed all the...
Yeah, and I got the bad guy just swinging the anchor. And
yeah, he was a cool bad guy. I don't remember.
Is that part of chapter five?
Was that? Yeah, it was towards the beginning.
That was just a solo episode with me and Sean. I guess a duo. It was my like intro back into the campaign from my break.
Yeah, so it was very... It's like the next episode after we are first into the Amana office. It was very close to the beginning of five.
Lavender Brick,
yeah. He was great.
Yeah, and I really like the episode where you guys saved Domin altogether with driving in your limo and Forrest hacking into cell phones to talk with his kin while he's mind controlled. I thought that was a lot of fun.
Tell the guy to give me his armor. Give me your armor.
Yes. Yeah. Are there still guards with us? There are. Give me your stuff. You're getting robbed right now.
You got it back, baby. I don't think so.
What's Domin up to these days? Is he just hanging out at the Amon office, just kind of waiting for us to like tell him it's safe to go elsewhere?
He's waiting for his armor to be returned, apparently.
Domin got relocated while you guys are on your leave to the Easy Snooze in the warehouse district.
Witness protection.
That's not protected.
That does not sound like a place he's just gonna hang out and just still be there when we go looking for him.
Oh, one last thing. I really like when we all ride different cars down the block to go see.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
That was a nice little victory lap.
Yeah, it's like I had to throw that out there.
The Top Gear maneuver.
Do you have a least favorite scene or part this chapter?
Whose question is that?
Mine. But I promise all the other questions are from listeners.
I'm trying to think here now, like, what would... I think the... not because it was bad, but when we went down into the, like... religious temple thing, just because Dosh had no maneuver levers to pull, like it was really like I was focused and paying attention, I was trying to find ways to interact with everyone, but he just doesn't have like the fighter in the library who doesn't know how to read, like
so you immediately have the B plot of trying to entertain yourself at the library.
Yeah.
And Dalinar, you are not.
I mean, it ended cool. Like, it was a really cool, and it was fun to watch you guys like do stuff and like puzzle solve and things like that. Like, I was as a player was entertained, but like trying to stretch my creativity, I guess, in a way I'm not used to.
I think my least favorite scene is really similar, but it was the conclusion of that where we're fighting the steam lava golem. Because it ended up being anticlimactic, because we just kicked its ass so fast, we didn't. It felt like we were robbed of what was supposed to be a cool fight, you know.
Sorry, I'm so cool, guys.
All that pent up reading time.
Yeah, was nothing for me to do. Murder.
It was Matt's least favorite episode because. Because he wasn't cool in that situation, and it was Jesse's least favorite episode because he was too cool in that situation.
I mean, I wanted you to be cool. I just wanted there to be, like, another round of that cool, you know? I wanted the fight to last longer than one round.
Oh, man. But you guys got to really get that mileage out of that escape route feat.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're gonna be here until they kick us out of the buffet.
I'm sorry, you're cut off. What? It's all you can be. Trying to think. Nothing stands out as
at know, this like, point. I'm trying to think of all the moments in between the ones we've already mentioned as our favorites. Like, okay, what happened in between that? If I'm not remembering it, I might be a candidate for it.
And it's not a bad moment, but when we were trying to figure out a little more information about the heist we were supposed to pull and timing, and we just and that's on us for overthinking it, not just doing the thing or or getting distracted with drinking and partying and Omnimart trips,
getting autographs,
yeah, Matilda shirts. That was a lot of fun, but we overthought that and could have made that a little more smooth.
We underthought the message. You guys overthought our message. Yeah.
Do the thing at this time. What's happening at this time? When is this time? What's going on?
How important is it that we comply with this like vague directive?
Right.
It wasn't so, vague's the wrong way to describe it. It wasn't vague. It was precise. It just didn't have enough information.
Yeah.
That's subjective. Like, we said a perfect amount.
Just give us a time.
Yeah, time of day. That's all we needed.
Time was subjective. It was a weird time portal thing. We didn't know.
This thing's happening. Do it during this thing. What time is this thing? No one can tell us. Thing?
No one knows.
I think that was your fault not being able to ask the right questions.
Yes.
Honestly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not a Genpo in the group.
I mean, that's part of it. That's also listening back on it now, we asked the right questions to the wrong people. Like, we knew the duel was happening at the estate, and we failed to go to the estate and ask people there the questions we needed to know the answers to.
Right, we were talking to the waitress and and the guy at the Omnimart. Do you know about this duel? What? You want to buy a squid?
Wrong place, right time.
So I was going to say that was my least favorite part. It was like, I think I probably could have ran that a little bit better. But now that Jesse told me he re-listened to it and got it, I'm like, no. I did that just fine. Because it was really weird, like, why are these guys bugging everybody at the Waffle House? I mean, I'm not going to tell them where to go. Like, you guys have a pamphlet, and you guys went to a pamphlet person. They're like, oh, it's a big festival. The whole place is. But if you want to know about that place, you should ask that
you
way.
You should go to that place.
That place. And you guys are like, yeah, let's go talk to a different pamphlet hander. I was like, I'm just in for the ride now. Where are you guys going?
Like I said, not a bad part, but in hindsight, it's like, man, we could have been a little more focused on that. But
yeah, it stretched a little long.
I had a blast with the whole thing.
Yeah, it helped that we were doing it with the Clash guys. That was just a lot of fun. And honestly, that's why we got so distracted and we're just bumbling around town, just doing whatever we wanted.
You guys did bumble correctly into Sean's assist of trying to turn off the cameras. Sean failed to check, so I rolled basically the scatter dice to see where it actually happened. And so it happened an hour early.
Oh, nice.
And so you guys were there with changing the guards, but yeah, technically there's a portion of that that just didn't get recorded.
Yeah, we didn't even think about cameras until we were like being observed by cameras. And we're like, oh yeah, that's probably something we should have thought about before now.
It's okay, we're all in matching jumpsuits. It hides our numbers.
Because they all have the same number on them, so they all think we're the same person.
Matching jumpsuits that say Cockatrice Delivery Service on the back.
Look, our cat has one too.
Oh.
Yeah.
We're so screwed.
Planning was not really a thing we did.
Cool. I think that's everybody for that one. So, from listeners, from tags, they asked, is there an NPC you know nothing about that you were worried about?
The girl from the Waffle House.
How is she doing, by the way?
Don't be awkward. Why am I making this call? It's so awkward.
It was so awkward.
No.
You broke your phone while you were talking to her. You didn't even hang up. You just smashed your phone in your fist while you're speaking to her.
Also, I have no idea. I'm sorry, Marshall, if this is just me targeting you. I was listening to a previous episode, and you also broke your phone in that? And I'm like, how many phones have I made Marshall go through? This isn't on him. This is on me. Like, why do I hate Marshall's phones?
I think the first time I broke my phone was the when I lost all that con to the...
Samara?
At the Moon Rat Brawl. And I got tore up pretty good.
That was like having to roll for your equipment type of thing.
No, it just felt right story wise almost.
Okay, I see. I see.
Like, we'll just say my phone got tore up. A bunch of my equipment got. I mean, it ripped me apart. Left me a 3 con. So I went with it.
But now you can't. You guys can't say that your phone gets destroyed again. Otherwise, people will just think of this. Not acceptable anymore. Gotta think of something else.
Yep.
I think the NPC that I don't really know about that I'm kind of worried about, it's actually a group of NPCs. It's the council that it's the ones that like are kind of the ones we were supposed to target to kidnap to rescue Hegan's father. Like,
oh.
I know like nothing about those guys, but I can tell like they've come up a few times now in like some little like side references in places. So I could tell they're important in some way. So I'm sure they're going to crop up and be a nuisance in some fashion.
are we saying that there's NPCs that we are worried about encountering or worried about their safety?
Encountering.
Yes. Okay. I'm still kind of concerned about the anchored.
That was going to be my answer.
Oh, I'm sorry. Cut that out.
No, I mean, the anchored. Big old plot thread of assassins.
it wouldn't be a big campaign if we ignored plot threads.
Or didn't we're ignore plot everybody threads. Other than the assassination target.
That's right. We stopped Dobbin from the assassination attempt and said, well, that's dealt with.
I think that's pretty much how it went.
If I defend myself here, I think we got immediately thrown into a bunch more quests like the very next episode. Like there was no time in between the end of that happening.
Oh no!
And the start of our next thing was like there was no in-game time to address what had happened.
Mm-hmm. No, you're very.
Yeah,
you're right on that. Like we're back. Like here's a list of things to do. Go to Sword Eye. Like,
okay. Yeah, Jeff's real good at keeping us busy.
That starts with an A. Oh my god, I can't believe my mind's blanking. I can. Our fairy.
That's it.
Yeah, I've kind of assumed that you, Sean, as far as you've been having like some side conversations with Domin, at least like over HCOM, to kind of like figure out what to do about the situation, at least with him, and just kind of extricate him from things and make things as okay as you can, which is not the same thing as resolving the anchored plot and the problem of people wanting to kill Lucius.
Right.
Someday so. Lucius will care about that.
We would have thought it would have been when Sabrina's husband died. Esper. Yeah.
Yep. Yep, you'd think so.
We did briefly, and other things came up. Low house burned down.
He is way more concerned about like whether there's gonna be a brew pub in his family ruins than whether somebody's trying to kill him.
Yeah. Or it just seems like that because he gives the same level of care.
That could be. Yeah, he cares a lot in the moment and then completely ignores it immediately after.
Good thing he's not here to defend himself.
Yeah, no.
I love that that's the aspect of Lucius's character. Like, I don't feel that this is a slight on John. I think this is like, mm-hmm. It's a dimension of how Lucius is as somebody in the world, where he's just kind of like, he's trying to like balance all these things, and he's bad at prioritizing what's actually important. And he like gets like too focused on some things sometimes. I think it's good. I think it's a helpful part of the narrative. Mm-hmm. It's not like the rest of us stay laser focused on shit either.
Do this favor for us, or we hurt your dad. Okay. 12 episodes later. Oh yeah.
You didn't talk because you were getting the money.
Yeah. Got your money. Get your own executive kidnapped.
I'd like to buy my way out of this plot line, please.
Now, do you want to pay for an executive? Because we can do that.
We will charge you 93,000 credits.
So mine's kind of a meta one, I guess. Not really an NPC either. I'm just kind of terrified of Amon. Like, I know who runs Amon. I know what Amon is capable of. I know what they do. I know where they're at in this time of the world. Like, this is not a good place for us to be.
Now, when you say Amon, are you talking about Typh?
I'm talking about, well, Typh, yeah, and the entire company itself, like the people that work with Typh and stuff. There's just a lot there. It's really heavy. There's a lot going on. And we're like, we're going to fuck over Amon, which is fun, and I'm enjoying doing it. But inside, I'm like, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God.
We're like janitors in the Legion of Doom.
Like fucking over the Legion of Doom. Don't know it.
They get single ply.
Yeah, it is fun to see that from this side of the fence, since like the first, like in Big Campaign 7, we were playing kind of on the other side of the fence against Amon, more or less.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so we've seen how this all plays out, at least from that perspective. Mm-hmm. So seeing what it's like as, you know, more or less corporate schmucks inside the machine as things progress plot-wise will be fun.
Then I get to take a shit on Lex Luthor's fucking desk and not realize that's who it is. Take this, boss man. I dare you. So that's my big fear. Like, it's not a fear. I'm really excited for it, but at the same time, it's like, God, it's gonna be bad.
I've been telling Jeff that I really want to be able to see in character an event that I know you know about, Mav, because you got to see it the first time and I didn't. And yeah. I really want to see that, but I also know what I'm asking for when I'm saying that as Oswald and not as somebody in BC7.
Yeah, I take no responsibility for the crimes that happened that day.
You never have.
Was there war crimes going on? What happened? Yes. Wait, I think I remember. No, I think I remember hearing about it.
Yeah, war crimes is a light take.
Just the best way to say it is that there are no good guys in that fight. From Rogue Depot for Oswald, about how do you feel about all these fun changes you're going through?
As a player, I'm really digging it. I really like the tension that it throws into Oswald's world. It's like this, it's something he's got to like deal with, but he's also trying to ignore, but he can't ignore. I love like the tinge of creepiness that flies in when we're trying to like get things done, and just like it distracts Oswald away from, you know, other things going on, which works well with the way I like playing Oswald, where he's a little bit flighty and a little bit bad at paying attention and staying on task and doing like making good decisions. He tries really hard, but he fails often at that. As Oswald, honestly, he's up and down about how he feels about all the changes he's going through. He's nervous about it, to be sure, and he's concerned that like eventually it's just going to eat him.
In what ways is he up about it?
For a while, he thought that maybe it was like, it was related to Tali. He didn't, like, this was before he realized that it was coming from the Far Realm. And so he thought it was like, oh, I'm getting, like, cool special powers to be able to, like, you know, the, like, the transportation thing. And now that it's like, no, it's actually just creepy towns of Tindalos, creepy hounds of Tindalos popping out of corners and murdering people, it's like, oh, there's less to be up about.
Gosh, this is more important. How does he think of it?
I'd say mostly I think it's hilarious that we kind of all just ignore that he has claw hands sometimes. Like, there's this, the youngest member of our crew, who we all kind of take paternal instincts toward a little bit, just is running around with this Far Realm infection and claw hands, and every once in a while we're like, oh yeah, are you all right? Just like, eh.
You only got the bite on the first episode.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe the second.
It was early for sure.
Yeah. Physically, Oswald feels mostly fine. Psychologically is a different story.
Yeah, but you've got a lot of things that are weighing on your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Black goo in the forest, spiders.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mind flares holding me in place while they approach.
Yeah.
Sorry, illithids. Illithids holding me in place while they approach.
Copyright infringement.
Non-copyrighted squid-faced beasties.
Squid players.
From Taser Badger, does any of the party characters feel close to retiring? Not in like the player retire, but with how much they've been through as player characters, like, oh my god, I'm just so close to quitting and becoming a carpenter who lives in the woods.
Oswald.
Yeah,
he's not a carpenter. He's going to turn into a hound who lives in the woods. We saw this.
Oswald has definitely thought about it. There have been times where it's like, man, maybe this is like way more than I bargained for, and I should just like walk away from all of this. And maybe it'd be safer for the people I care about if I did that. He hasn't done it because right now he cares about the people that he's around too much to like. He feels like he would be letting them down by walking away at this point. But yeah, he's kind of got in the back of his head where it's like, maybe I should just quit this whole thing and just go be like a moon rat full time or something.
Oh, it doesn't always work out great for the moon rats. Just keep that in mind.
Yeah. Anybody else? Or is everybody else still like gung-ho being part of Amon Requisitions?
Oh, go for it.
No, you go ahead first.
Like, Dosh does not want to work for Amon, really. Like, he wants to help you guys, hang out with you guys, and the fact that, like, sabotaging all this missions that Amon gave us was kind of his main goal. And like, so retirement, I guess not retiring, but he'd be happy to get fired. Do go back to doing what we were doing before, doing our own thing or something else. But I mean, he's not gonna quit the party, but he doesn't want to work for Amon for foreseeable future.
I don't think any of us really want to work for Amon. It was a means to the end, an ends, which, yeah. I mean, didn't really work out.
I mean, getting Forrest back was a pretty valuable ends to achieve there. Well,
I forgot that was tied with it.
It's an ends for you guys. but kind of feel like retirement isn't an option for me anymore because I'm beholden to Amon now.
That's fair.
Do they like literally own your soul basically now, or
who knows?
Yeah, only Lucius had the opportunity to read the TNC.
And he just stuck it in his pocket and walked out. But Keegan's not close to retirement. He's pretty happy right now. It feels very similar to when he was in the military too, just hanging out, doing a bunch of stuff with the guys, having mission after mission, keeping busy.
What are you running away from? Tell me a painful story about your childhood.
I just saved what I was running away from. Now he's on a plane. Maybe.
Do a different casino.
Uh-huh. We'll see what happens with that.
I think that's got to be one of the reasons why that didn't feel super urgent, because I feel like we talked to him on the phone several times and he was just in a casino. Like, you hear the boodly boops of the slot machines in the background. It's like, yeah, he's fine.
Mm. Yeah. He was like, I'm up. They're giving me free rooms and drinks. Like, yeah. Can't. It's not like they're hitting me again. What are you going to do?
I mean, the vibe I got from that was that he was never winning. Like, when he thought he was winning, it's because they just were, like, giving him stuff so that he would stay because he had stay, and he was just continuing to run up the debt. Like, the longer he was there, the more you were going to owe them.
That's definitely what it was, that they were keeping him happy and winning and getting into debt, just kind of going back and forth. Because every time he felt like he was up, he'd get down more. But it's all paid off, and hopefully he's on a plane.
Who's going to guest star as Keegan's father?
Oh my God, can we have Gordy on? That'd be amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah, why did it get so awkward? What's not being said here?
We're not going to get to meet Keegan's father, are we?
But yeah, let's see here. Let's see. From Void Shift, will Keegan get his Punch Junction armor back?
Yes, he will. He has it. It's in the wrecker. He's just got to put it back on and clean it up a little bit.
And then, of course, they asked about Xavier, but there's only kind of spoilers there. But there will be more Xavier this coming chapter.
Woo!
Yay!
I always liked Xavier.
I think you guys get along with all of the Estebolds now.
See, when I left, in whatever season I left in, we hated Matilda and kind of tolerated Xavier. And now we're all super close, and Dash is kind of just following along with everyone, but doesn't know why.
Matilda's had some growth and made some friends, which I think helped.
Okay.
I'm laughing because I'm thinking of the friends.
Matilda Metallica shirts?
Uh-huh. Cool. And then I guess it's here. Last one. Any hopes for next chapter?
That's a good question. Can Dash become a real boy? Stop being Barry?
I mean, feels like you're about to be outed, right? Because, like, somebody was definitely asking about you as a Dosh model in particular.
Yeah.
And then there's also the spooky message we got on the boat.
Dosh will have a lot to talk about that when he gets on back from his day off.
I'm still curious about Lucius's parents.
Mm.
And if there was any significant movement on Lucius's family stuff with Magnus and whatnot. Yeah.
That's a good one. I was going to say go more selfish route and hope Keegan and his dad can talk a little bit, but hash some things out. But yeah, Lucius's family is a good one. I would like to get into more of that too.
I'd also like to see Lucius shower for reals once.
Lucius doesn't shower. He prestidigitates himself.
Yeah. Yeah.
You've established that. Episode one.
I know, smells like old coffee and ozone all the time.
This is why it's a hope.
On purpose.
This is where you find out that Lucius is actually a simulacrum made of snow that he's been the echo which just killed his parents years ago.
That's gotta be an episode where some sort of anti-magic effect renders Lucius unable to use what little magic powers he has.
It's just years of not bathing catches up to him.
Yeah.
all those presentation spells are gone.
Yeah. We didn't realize it doesn't get rid of the stink and dirt. It just hides it.
Oh. An owlbear coat would just reek.
Right?
Oh.
Oh, one second.
Do you not think that the spell protects the coat? Like, when he takes it off and puts it in the coat room, it hugs all the funk? Or does the protection of the magic
good question.
Take it off? Because, yeah, if that's the case, that coat's got to be something special foul.
I believe the spell actually can scrub it clean, but I don't think that's how Lucius uses it.
he doesn't use it as soap, he uses it as air freshener.
Exactly. This I'm is the thinking free of spell. It
as a zone of silence for smell, I guess.
Nice.
But
yeah, I mean, it's the same kind of question of, like, you know, what happens to things you're holding when you're invisible when you put them down. How do they stay invisible? And if so, for how long? You know?
Mm-hmm.
Until they attack.
Until that coffee mug attacks something.
It's actually a mimic. A little baby mimic. I think I'm thinking about, like, kind of dangling plot threads that I'd like to see. Maybe not necessarily be, like, front and center, but, like, I like seeing how those move forward in the world sometimes, because it makes the world, you know, alive.
Snow days.
I'm thinking more like with Sabrina and, like, how she's training up to, like, go after and avenge her husband's death. I think that's an interesting, like, thing that's happening in the background. That's, you know, maybe going to come to fruition someday, or maybe not. The Kabuto Syndicate is obviously hanging over our heads in a couple different ways.
Wasn't Lucius going to sign us up for Dungeon Crawl too?
I think he was thinking about it when he was thinking about the promise, and so that's another thing we need to, like, are we going to do something about the promise? Because I think Lucius also had half a plan to go raid some Amon vault somewhere.
Yeah, but we keep getting sent out by Amon, so they know what they're up to. They're like, let's keep this guy busy. We'll keep him around until he becomes a problem.
Obviously, Orion is making some moves to position himself in a way to have advantage over at least Lucius, if not all of us.
Well, the last time, didn't they say it was a superior?
Something like that, yeah.
Or a not manager. Yeah, superior.
Mr. Manager.
Just manager.
Mr. Manager was my father.
Homie man.
Yeah, that kind of stuff is what I'm looking forward to. Just the hints and threads of stuff happening in the background that, like, because there's always more going on than we actually have time to go manage individually. Yeah. And I like the sense of that, where it's like, you can't actually grab everything and solve everything. Like, there's too much. There's a whole world out there, and you got to pick and choose what you spend your time on.
That's because Dosh, he does it all.
Yeah.
Horace still has that Blink Dog portal key, right? Maybe.
The one you got when you went to the warehouse?
Yeah.
Oh, I guess.
I was just trying to think if it was on my person when I was fighting Samara. Because if it was, maybe not.
Or if it was in your room when the house burned down?
Right.
Oh. Poor cats.
Of course, might not have a lot of stuff.
I almost lost my jar of slime. But so assuming if that didn't get destroyed somehow, then yeah, there's definitely that Blink network.
Let's see here. Well, that's all the questions that we had.
What are you looking forward to, Jeff?
Honestly, I'm kind of looking forward to the end of chapter six, because then we get to go a little off the rails.
We've been on rails?
They're not fancy rails, but there is.
So what happens at the end of six?
In the same way that, you know, George Clooney and those guys escaped on a rail car.
I don't remember that part in Ocean's 11.
Well, six is where we will deal with big world stuff, but that effectively takes us outside of what was done during the Prism timeline, and for the most part, for the rest of Big Campaign 7, you guys never really went back and dealt with anything in the Rethi, in the Dust Banter area, which means all of that timeline is all stuff that you guys don't have kind of meta-knowledge or stuff in the background, you know? Which means just from my gaming side, there's not world events really I need to have in the timeline, like happening in the news and stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. You get like a soft reboot.
Yeah, once you get to that, it's like, cool. If we were watching an Indian film, this would be when the title shows up and you'd realize you still have more movie to go through.
Still 4 hours.
The third R comes on the screen.
That's my favorite part about RRR is there's so much movie before you get to the movie.
This is all set up for the actual game.
Yeah, just a little bit. I also like the idea of Josh showing up with his duffel bag of balaclavas and bolt cutters, and I'm here to like sabotage the mission, and you show up and everyone's like, so we're sabotaging the mission. You're like, okay. I don't need this stuff.
Look, Amon supplied us with all the sabotage stuff we need.
Let's get creative.
So our plan for this wine is we're going to start a war, which is not at all what Amon wanted us to do.
They did, just not with these people.
Yeah. They wanted us to start a war with some broke firefighters.
Yeah.
Not some gangsters that we happen to know are flush with cash.
At least 93,000 credits.
Exactly. We know that.
God, those Kabuto guys must be so confused by us. Like slapping them in the face and putting money in their pocket at the same time.
But wait a minute, this guy and his friends gave us the basket, and then they're paying this guy off?
Give us back Keegan's father, or else we're going to pay you.
Well, cool. That's it. I think that's where we'll call tonight's session. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah, thanks, everyone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Give us more questions.
We appreciate you and all the support.
And what do you think about us being sponsored by Manscaped?
I'll do it in character as Dosh and be like, there's hair where?
Thanks for listening, everybody. I did get my audio issue resolved. It was just going through a different mic. So sorry about that. The opening you heard was 10,000 people screaming, I'm an individual. The ending song is Monolith, and in between you heard This Time is Precious, all by Nihilor. We're going to take the next couple weekends off from posting, but nothing wrong, everything's fine, it's all good news, we're just a little bit busy. So, anyways, I hope you're all doing well out there, take care of yourselves. Bye. Bye-bye.